cliffcentral.com. All right, welcome back in the second hour of the 18th year of October here in Johannesburg, South Africa. That's where we are. And you are no doubt somewhere very nice. If not, it's Friday. I'm sure you can go somewhere nice. Gareth and Sia will be back on Monday. They've been in New York all week. They haven't rejoined us on the show. But I think Hi Rob's going to join us today, Gugu. So we need to be checking the Skype lines. He'll be joining us now. Hi Rob, of course, is a regular on the show. He's one of our listeners in Amsterdam. And he started a new job. His love life has become quite colorful. And of course, Hi Rob is just Hi Rob. So there's also that. So he'll be joining us at some stage in the second hour. We've got George Meany with the Auto Central Power Pod. He'll be joining us towards the end of the hour. But something I wanted to bring up now, obviously this week there's been a lot of attention around school teachers, which we talked about in the first hour. Now, Jimmy Kimmel, he's the guy that cries. He's the Jimmy that cries. The other Jimmy is the guy, the Jimmy that drinks. Just catch up with that. So he had an interesting feature on school teachers, which I want to share with you now.
This week, in case you didn't know, is Teacher Appreciation Week. And it's very important to be nice to your teachers. You know, if the NRA has their way, they'll all have machine guns soon, and you'll have to be nice to them. And most people have one or more teachers from the past that they put through the ringer. When I was in high school, we had a Spanish teacher named Mr. Gretz. And every day, Mr. Gretz would write 10 questions on the chalkboard. And then he'd pull down the map to cover them until quiz time. And then he'd lift them up, and then we'd have to take the quiz. And every day, someone would somehow sneak into the classrooms and erase all the questions and replace them with a cartoon penis. And then Mr. Gretz either retired or disappeared, I'm not sure, after that year. But I feel like we owe him an apology. Teachers have difficult jobs. And so today, in honor of Teacher Appreciation Week, we went out to Hollywood Boulevard to give people a chance to say sorry for the awful, awful things they did.
It's Teacher Appreciation Week. Are there any teachers you would like to apologize to?
Sure. My fifth grade teacher, her name was Miss Glasser. I gave her the nickname Gassy Goo, and it stuck with her the whole year.
My senior year of high school, I want to apologize to Ms. Seawall because I arrived very drunk to my last final for math, and I completely failed it, and I knew what I was taking. I knew the stuff, but I failed it because I was very, very drunk.
I want to apologize to my kindergarten teacher for kicking her every day, almost every day. I would come in and kick her for no reason. And after that, first grade, my first grade teacher, I would hit her with a rubber band and paper.
Oh, so things got worse.
Yeah.
There was a teacher at Tesoro High School in Orange County who had very, very big curly hair. And when she turned around to write on the board, we would roll up little pieces of paper and see how many we could stick in her hair without her knowing.
What was your record?
I think it maybe was like 8 or 9, not anything crazy.
I don't remember her name, but I took a Spanish class my freshman year of high school, and I'm from Mexico City. I was born there, but I didn't tell the teacher until like the last week during like our final presentation, where I got up y empecé a hablar en español y de repente, and I spoke Spanish better than her. I think she was Russian.
Just one, Mr. McCrary. He's a high school teacher in Prince George, Virginia.
What'd you do?
We stole his car and put it on the roof.
I want to apologize for telling a marijuana joke in first grade.
What was the joke?
Ms. Krauss, why don't balloons do drugs? And, you know, panic on her face. And she said, I don't know, Amy. And I said, because they're afraid they'll get too high and get busted. And, yeah, she didn't like that.
And what do you do now?
I'm the mayor of Manhattan Beach, California.
Are there any teachers you'd like to apologize to?
I'd like to apologize to the teacher I stole a checkbook from in high school. Okay, I kicked out of Arthur High School. Got sent to Lloyd High School for stealing my teacher's checkbook and trying to cash a check, and got caught and went to jail. I mean, that was embarrassing, man, in front of all of my student my friends, man. They see me get locked up, man. That was crazy. I apologize. Forgive me.
I want to apologize to Ms. Amundsen, my ESL teacher. She used to send me to go get cigarettes from the liquor store, and I always will steal 2 or 3 cigarettes, you know? And that's the way I learned how to smoke, you know, and be cool. At least I learned something in school, you know?
Something I find so interesting about all of this is that teachers, I mean, like, it's a passion, like they say, it's a calling sometimes, but kids are shit a lot of the time. Like, they're just horrible. Dave, what's the worst thing you did to your teachers?
I wasn't a very good pupil. Can I talk now? Just ask that guy if I can speak on your machine.
Dave, I'm asking you a question.
We had a teacher who had a little set of keys, and if you clapped your hands, the keys would whistle in case you lost them. So a clever little device. This is the 80s. This is the 80s when school was cool. Yeah. So we hid his keys away, and then we clapped. And these keys whistled from all over the room.
So you would just clap all the time?
No, you would clap. Then we hit them on the top of the... There's an intercom that used to... The headmaster, the guard used to speak to you from. And then we hit it on top of there. So he just looked for his keys the whole... But he was actually still walking around the class going like this. His name was Mr. Bester. Shame, man. I feel sorry. But we did some bad things and we weren't nice kids.
But that's just the thing, because you always feel like the teacher's against you, so you want to rebel at any given stage.
You see a teacher a lot more than you see your parents, girlfriend, anyone.
A lot of the time,
it's just this person. And they're authoritative, possibly, but then also you're trying to just deny that authority the whole time. Like, no, you're not injured. No one tells me what to do.
Yeah,
but like that girl said, she arrived drunk for her maths test.
Yeah.
I think we had some teachers who possibly arrived drunk for some stuff.
Well, they would have to have little
get hammered.
I can't deal with these kids anymore. I'm just going to have like a bottle of Chardonnay
my juice bottle. No, we were not good. Hey, we were terrible kids. We were not. I feel so sorry for every single teacher.
Because I don't think there's ever therapy involved for teachers. But like, you know, I think a lot of public work needs therapy. You imagine every year in, year out, you got to teach similar kind of syllabus. I mean, some guys, if you're like a history teacher for 10 years, you're going to say the same crap ever. But you've got the same people, different people coming through. And you got to go through the same rigmarole. There's always one kid who's got attention deficit disorder. There's always one kid who's just dreadful. And then you get the well-behaved kids being corrupted by the good kids. It must be an absolute minefield of like...
Do you think teachers remember you? What school were you at?
Definitely. I went to my 20-year reunion a couple months ago. And a guy I haven't seen in 20 years, he remembered me. Hmm. Not just like, hi. Like
he's been following, watching your stuff. And he's got pictures on his phone of you.
Yeah, maybe.
Freak.
Maybe.
No, I did meet a teacher's daughter. And she was talking to me and she said something about being from Springs. And then she mentioned her mom was a teacher in Springs. So I said, and I looked at her in the face and I said, I think I know exactly who your mom was. It was my standard three teacher. And she said, jeepers, I'll ask her if she remembers you. I said, please don't, because this was the woman who took me. You know, you got caned back in those days.
Yeah.
I got six of the best. I was a 10-year-old kid, and the headmaster was hitting me with a cane. So when we were walking back to the class, she was crying. And I remember saying to her, I'm like, I need to work this out. Like, I'm the one who got six of the best, and we're walking back, and you're crying. And she said, no, I promised myself when I left teachers' college that I would never do this. And you're the first kid that I've seen to get caned at a class. So I must have been such a naughty 10-year-old and she was the one who said, if I walked into the class, she said, get out. Like, I would walk in.
Fair point,
and
though.
I didn't even make it to the educating side of school. I just had to stand outside. So my whole schooling was like this. The trinomial hypotenuse. So that's why I only got 50%. The windows were open, I would have got 60.
Because you couldn't hear everything.
Oh, don't tell me to stand outside.
Morning, team. When I was in Milnerton High School in Cape Town,
well done.
The art teacher used to bone some of the standard 9s and 10s. I think it's more common than people think, even though it was in 1989. She wasn't famous, so no big deal.
It happens but everywhere.
Also, but also back then, like no cell phones, no videos, no nothing.
You just got to hope it's not in a primary school.
Just don't break the law.
Breaking the law.
I don't know. Okay, so yeah, but that's what amplifies this whole thing at Bishop's.
And he also just bust. He literally, if you're half a CSI detective, you know it was 1989. It was Milnerton High School. Off you go,
art teacher
on Facebook, looking at.
We've just
there.
Outed,
you go. You just outed
someone. We just outed this art teacher.
And he was a nice art teacher. He was a great guy. You know, a lot of people got an A.
Maybe it was a woman.
Yeah, it's funny if I say it's a guy.
Probably.
No, look, I mean, it happened at a lot of schools that I know of. And there was an American couple. She went to jail for 14 years. They got married when she came out.
Wow.
So that's like true love. It became a Hallmark movie. It's not uncommon. And I think the reason for that is that familiarity. You're there the whole day. And if you do connect with the teacher, which you often do, you have a really cool teacher that just gets you, you start getting better marks. That's when you should notice it. If your son... is coming home with way better marks for water polo than he had last year. It should be a sign.
Well, suddenly playing for the first team. But you can't swim.
We had underwater hockey, but it was at Wits. But I only did it because it was a lot of nipples, man. Guys, I mean. Mixed underwater hockey. Have you never played it?
No. Dave, that sounds like the most obscure school sport ever.
But it wasn't a school sport. We weren't allowed. If you were underwater hockey, you were drowning at our school. In fact, it's so sad that the guy who cleans a pool drowned at our school during the holidays. And it was quite weird when we got back and said, sorry to say, Phineas has died or whatever. And then I thought to myself, would he, on his CV as a guy who cleans the pool, not have been that he is a good swimmer?
Yeah, you would think you should be able to.
But it was. He could swim. He has the problem. The pool was half full, which he could have walked to the shallow end. I don't know how it happened. He fell. It was sad. The guy who cleans the pool drowned in the pool. That's like the Scholar Patrol guy getting run over.
Yeah, that's really not a great
term. No faith in my school's
It's not a great story, Dave. So yesterday on the Burning Platform, Canthan, if you did miss it, we spoke about a variety of things, from Jacob Zuma playing the race card to how Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma maybe is being discredited for just being in his shadow. Interesting guy, Canthan, as always, you know. And he did mention that there's been a cell phone plant being opened in KZN. So, you know, when you arrive in Durban, that King Shaka Airport, lovely airport, probably my favorite airport in this country, actually. It's never busy, but it's always clean, and it's always wonderfully first world. Right there is the Dubai Trade Port, and they've opened this thing now. So Catherine was mentioning it costs around $1 billion, but they're making affordable smartphones from right there in that Dubai business precinct kind of thing. So thousands of Mada phones, that's what they're called, Mada phones. MARA.
Have you been to Nelspruit Airport?
How's that related?
It's one world airport of the year in terms of design.
And in terms of phones?
They don't make phones there, no. Okay, so probably no Wi-Fi either.
Hold that thought for a second.
But it is a beautiful airport.
It's the first made in Africa smartphone, and are expected to be manufactured at the plant, which is officially launched a week after its flagship factory was opened in Rwanda. Now, Rwanda is a country that is obviously very streamlined. You got one guy, Paul Kagame, I think his name is. He cracks the whip there, and everyone does what's needed to be done to get that place up and running, because they want to be like the Silicon Valley of the African continent. So they started with this, and now Madaphone CEO Ashish Thakkar promised to make a 1.5 billion rand investment in SA by opening this high-tech smartphone manufacturing facility.
That's amazing. Proper up story.
Delivered on his promise, and here we go. So we're going to start creating smartphones, the Madaphone. The brand has launched two models, the Mada X and the Mada Z.
And the motherfucker.
And it's been described as affordable with a long-lasting battery, immense storage, and a two-year Android version update delivered through a partnership with Google and Android One program. So this looks good.
Is he going to piss Donald Trump off if we use like a Huawei processor?
I don't see it. No.
Not?
No. So this is a really cool thing. Anything with innovation in this country is amazing. What a step in the right direction. And of course, with that comes employment. That's the big E word.
Okay, but guess what? They're going to just use robots. That's the only thing he said. He said, unfortunately, we're only using robots. Sorry.
Okay, David, there'll still be elements of employment. Obviously, mechanization, that kind of stuff.
So the first phone is coming out when? Because I'm getting one. I'm going to upgrade to a Mada phone.
To Mada X. Mada Y.
Mada.
Mada Z or Mada X. Dave,
can we do the ad for them at least, so that we don't have that agency from Air New Zealand doing it?
So, okay, I don't know when these will be able to be in stores, but Cyril Ramaphosa went there. He did a plant tour. This is a cool thing about this. Again, like someone really smart here has understood that they can make this happen. So in the 15 minutes that it took him to go from do a tour, a phone was made and ready for him.
So I thought you said a phone was stolen.
So, something so they can actually make a phone like that. So they started the tour. This is how we start the process. End of the tour, it's like, here is your Mada phone.
Have you been to the plant? I'm not going to say which one it is, but it's in PE and they make polos. But that's the same tour that you do. Like you follow that car. This is the bonnet and you can actually press the buttons. By the time you leave the tour, a polo is made.
So you're not going to say which company it is, but they make polos.
They make polos, right?
Could be a jersey. Could be Steve Jobs wore polo necks. But I'm just saying that was, to me, I was actually a little bit, I was flabbergasted. Flabbergasted. I find that stuff incredible. Mm. Like, I was one of those kids who actually went on those tours and dug it to go and see how everything
cool.
gets made.
How everything's
I get stuck on Discovery. How it's made. Hammers.
Hi Ben, I heard that you're sing. Hi Ben, I heard that you're single again. Sorry to hear about that. Strongs. I'm trying to play matchmaker
Jeepers,
today.
I don't hear anything.
Zoe Brown is single, I think. Who's Zoe Brown?
Zoe
top
Brown.
Billing. I think everyone on top billing is available.
The two of you should get to know each other better, maybe.
Ben, I think I'm next in line for Zoe. Maybe you look the other way.
This message doesn't say hi,
is,
Gugu.
Is
look,
she brown?
Look the other way. She is brown.
I'm not entirely sure who Zoe Brown is. Who's Zoe Brown?
Yeah, stay like that. You don't need to know.
Ben, are you sad about top billing being whipped?
So yesterday the news broke, Dave, and I think I was within my rights to tell Gugu that they need to plan a top billing show here on Cliff Central. Make it like top billing week, whatever. Bring in guests. From Michael Moll to...
Probably CL host that.
Could not stand whoever. That show. I didn't like the noise, the music. As soon as it messed... Remember just guys, on Friday nights.
But that's what
you
was so...
You were getting dressed a show that before you went out.
But that's what's so great about top billing. It was actually... You couldn't even parody it, really, because it was so...
Which is a
top.
Parody of itself.
Now, I've mentioned this before many
times.
Top
billing?
Of course not. Why would I be on top billing?
Well, you're an up-and-coming... We know this week on top billing, we talk to up-and-coming radio people. And in the studio, we have Ben Kopinski.
Yeah, but no, Dave.
We went to Ben's house. It's a rustic, eclectic mix of bachelor shit.
leftover dishes, and that cat has vomited again.
He's single again.
So
Zoe,
if you ever watch the SABC Encore, you know when Cloudy basically just sold all the archives to DSTV for like a quick buck.
Oh, so yeah, is that a real? Oh, so you can watch the old stuff.
So like the
it's going nowhere slowly on there
on DSTV. It's it is.
You're kidding me.
Of course it is.
Come on, money.
All the old SABC shows, back when SABC actually made content, they're all on this channel.
Yeah.
And late at night, I think every single day at like 11 o'clock, because I was staying in this guest house and doing some work, and there was the only channel they had, so I had it on the background. And they would do top billing from the 90s. The
old top billing, I've
it's
seen
amazing.
It.
It's absolutely amazing.
And the way they used to dress.
And the way they used to speak. It was like, why do you speak like that? But that was top billing language.
Bobby Skinstad applied for the job and got almost like 10 inserts on it when he was a top rugby player. And his tongue was more famous than he was. He was actually a presenter on top billing.
But all credit to top billing is that like they were whatever they were. And they kept the show going for quite some time.
Who did?
Daughter don't look alone.
Well, I've got to play you a short clip here. Because you can't parody top billing. I've come to the conclusion you just can't parody it because it was so laughable. But in a good way, though. In a really good way. Here's Michael Moll.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
The doc.
I don't actually have a nickname for doc.
So, picture this. 15 years ago, here's a young doctor with his eyes set on saving the world in a mission hospital an hour's drive north of Pretoria, dealing with the hurting and the helpless. And then suddenly top billing comes around and I'm rushing home to get onto a top billing set dealing with the famous, the beautiful, everything that glitters and, you know, all the glam. And I'm dealing with two very different worlds. It's like the juxtaposition, you know, the haves and the have-nots. And I think for me it was probably a bit of a saving grace. I think if it was just top billing, I might have lost perspective on life. But having that in one hand and top billing on the other was just great. I think I found middle ground and felt very grounded, at least for the last...
So Michael Moll is probably the most like celebrated of male presenters over the years, because it was the time when like.
What about Janice?
No, because top billing was at this boom when Michael Moll was there. Yeah. Anyway, so hi, Rob's with us. Rob, hi.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, solidly, Rob. Yeah, how's it going?
Good, bro. I miss you, dog.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone in the studio, Dave. And Googs.
Dave and Googs. Leanne is, I'm not sure, she's lost in translation of whatever she's doing. How's the how the first few weeks of the new job been?
Oh, bro, it's super hectic, bro. It's fucking gnarly, dog. But I mean, like, getting through it. It's corporate life is hectic. But yeah, dude, that's what I got to do now. But I'm still getting ahead of it, so it's cool. But yeah, it's managing a corp life and a social life is like the maddest shit I've ever done.
But is it just because of like workload or people like quite demanding?
Yeah, bro. But they're all like, it's like the corp finds people that have no fucking social life. They like interview them and they're like, hey, you will not have a life and you will work for us until you die. And then they hire those people and then those people become annoying for people like me who have a fucking social life. It's crazy, bro. It's like I'm getting emails at 8 o'clock in the evening. Like, get the fuck home. Do your shit. I'm done with you.
Bro, are you in the office right now? Are you in a hammock by any chance?
Where are you right
you
now?
You sound
boy?
So super chilled.
No, bro.
Are you in a Google office? Are you one of those bouncy balls?
Dave, I have to tell you something, bro. I fucking missed the Just Not Pomedy Commons. Fuck you for like shutting down that show, dude.
Well,
it wasn't really his fault.
We know why it was shut down.
It wasn't really his fault. It was shut down on him.
All the four listeners, including you, should have had a protest or something.
Yeah, I know. Dude, it was like one of the funniest things, bro. I missed that shit. But anyway, dude, I'm in the kitchen.
Oh, you're at work there, boy.
I'm in the kitchen of one of the girls I'm seeing.
Oh, nice.
Sorry.
So
yeah, it was tight. You remember on that Friday night I went to the house party?
Yes, when I arrived and you went to the house party.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. I'm in the kitchen sitting on the floor. Okay. I don't want to wake up like the whole house.
Okay, so Rob, how's it going? Are you looking to streamline like your interests, or are you looking to just play a bit of a team game still? Because I mean, when I came back, I said that there was two girls, potentially three, on the horizon there, which you were alternating around.
Yeah,
I think you should try and hit 47 like and then call it quits.
No, I know, but it's just like I don't really have, because the thing is, if you invest in one, bro, then you become like, I don't know, you become maybe like a needy bitch for one. But if you spread your channels, then you're like cool, calm, and collected for all three. So you're just chilling. And if anyone has a problem, you just say goodbye. And then you still got two.
Just focus on that.
That's how I see it.
But Rob, is it not tiring though? Because then you've got to like worry about what if they find out about each other.
It is. No. Okay, look, there's a flip side to this. And Googs, if you're listening to get into this lifestyle, it's not for the faint-hearted, bro.
I can imagine, bro.
It's a rat race, dude. It's like having three jobs, but except not as hard as the corp life. But yeah, but it's worth it in the end, bro. Like it really does. It's like having it's like Googs. You said you want three different cars in your garage. It's like having it, you know, you want to drive the same fucking car every day. You drive, okay, Friday I take the Ferrari out, Saturday I got the Porsche, you know, Sunday I take out the Lambo. You know what I'm saying?
I get you, bro. I get you. It's not for everyone.
Ben couldn't start my Beetle.
Yeah, no, you're
maybe that was a sign of a single.
But the Beetle with no wheels.
But now, Rob, so now you're going to the weekend. Like, what's the game plan though? Because you obviously want to see both these girls, right?
No. Well, I'm in the kitchen of one. But
well, yeah.
The thing is that I've got ADE. It's Amsterdam Dance Event tonight. So I'm going to see Oliver Kletsky, and probably a DJ that like no one knows, but apparently it's good. I'm going with Crazy Nick. You remember Crazy Nick.
So apparently some people actually like found Nick, and they've told me he's actually this the most revolting guy ever. I was showing pictures of people like to people of my Amsterdam trip, and they're like, you didn't hang out with that guy. He's like the worst guy.
No. Nick has a bad rep, but
no, he's got a bad rep, but I mean, it's the diversity of people they've been telling me this, which really means he's obviously working on his rep really hard.
It's like he destroyed it in Cape Town and then destroyed it in Joburg, and now he's destroying it in Amsterdam.
But now, okay, so when I left you, you said you got to keep things in the straight and narrow because of the new job, and you're actually going to maybe have a girlfriend. So what happened? Because now if you're going to go to ADE, you go off the rails again, aren't you?
No. Okay, yeah, tonight's definitely 100% going to go off the rails. But when you live in the corp life, bro, you work so hard during the week that on the weekend, bro, you just want to lose your fucking mind. I mean, there's no other way to release your weak demons than to go to ADE and just fucking rail yourself until it's like 8 a.m. in the morning. There's no choice.
And then just spend Sunday picking it all up and patching it together.
You skip Saturday, you know that.
Yeah, you skip Saturday. That's right, Dave. There's no such thing as a Saturday in my life because I spend it in bed. That's the truth, bro.
You said you're in the kitchen,
I wish I was a comedian.
Oh, you're always bringing.
Fuck.
Yeah, well, no, you don't. It's absolutely no work for comedians. Dave is living proof of that.
One of my girlfriends is in the Cliff Central studio. That's why I'm whispering from the couch.
So Rob, now that this girl you're currently with, does she live alone? Has she got like a flatmate?
Yeah, she got like a flatmate. That's why I'm like in the kitchen. Well, she's sleeping. I'm in the kitchen talking on Cliff Central. I know, pretty crazy.
Yeah. Is this the car segment?
And then I have to ride all the way back to my work. And then I have to go to an event later today. And then I have to go to another event tonight. So I'm like, today is going to be hectic. But I'm ready for it, dude. I was like, this week's been so deep and stuff. And I mean, enjoying you on the radio, bro. It's been nice having you back and stuff.
Thanks, Rob.
Enjoying it.
Thanks. Always appreciate it.
This is like your last day, but like, again, I'm like your last time on the radio, but like times two. But yeah, I don't know, bro. Just keep it together and the whole crew is going to come back. But other than that, I can say that, dude, watch my stories tonight. It's going to be absolutely lit. I can tell you that for free.
Okay, so Rob, what kind of drugs are we looking at tonight, though? Because obviously it's a decent score.
It's probably going to be a cocktail. I wouldn't go with just one because I'm aiming to crash at about 8, 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.
So you almost like want a bit of a slow burn because it's quite a long innings, that.
Yeah, no. You'd want to start off, like, you know how it goes. You start off with a bit of rails.
Yeah, just to kind of get back on ball,
like,
yeah.
That's not even like a thing, dude. That's like a general. Then I'll probably do dashes of like X. It'll be like half X pulls throughout the night. Then depending on where the music goes, I'll take two things of GHB, which is like, it's basically like horse tranquilizer. But
Don't do that, Rob.
And then 4FMP, which is nice for like the early hours in the morning, brings you a bit up, which is like a pure form X. And then somewhere along the way, I always have a packet of MD just to you know, take a little dab.
Pick me up.
And then to finish off, like the coup de grace, which will be probably about, I don't know, 8 in the morning, you'd probably come down with like a little dab of acid, and then you're done.
I'm so disappointed with my Friday. I'm like.
So Robert, you know what?
I'm like fetching my kid from Scouts. That's basically my drink.
But like, Rob, I know it's like kind of contrary to what you just said now. But I really do believe after running through these kind of things and obviously seeing you in your natural habitat, you know, like the whole thing about choosing one girl and being like as you say, like a, I don't know, a clingy bitch in that respect. There are other aspects that could enhance your life elsewhere, because I just fear, and this is my fear, and which I'm throwing it out there, is that if you're going to jump between these girls, you're only going to spend time with Nick, because that's what's going to happen, right? Because Nick will be in your life because you're not prioritizing a girl anyway. But if you were to prioritize one of these girls, you'll spend less time with Nick and going to his place and less time with cocktails, and then you actually might, I don't know, I mean, it could be a good change-up, it could be a positive step for you.
No, I know, that's true actually, bro, but the thing is, like, okay, that's what happened on Saturday night. Like, if I go out, then I'm with a girl, like, we're having fun, but then the thing is, you know me, bro, I like to eat fucking wild, and I can't do that if I'm, like, someone's, like, if I'm taking care of someone, because someone needs to take care of me, and then if no one takes care of me, then it's just how the night goes.
So no, I hear you.
I have that like fear of having to go out and then not enjoy myself because I'm like always looking out for someone or whatever, you know. Sometimes I just like to go out and lose myself.
Which is a bit of a fundamental worry about a lot of relationships. You go out there and you feel like you're always worrying about someone, never yourself. So I appreciate that.
We went through like pretty much the same situation. Well, like kind of, but now it's like, do you really want to rush back into something hectic?
Not really.
I don't know if I'm ready for it, bro.
Yeah, not really. No, you're right. Well, Rob,
step back into the ring.
Are you about to make breakfast, or are you just hitting it and quitting it, and you're about to leave?
No, I'm going to go back to bed and then see what happens from there. Okay. Then I do have to go to work later. Fuck.
All right, bud. Well, stay safe. The team's back on Monday, so you can catch up with them at your leisure. But thanks for calling in and sitting discreetly in the school's kitchen.
You need to come back to Amsterdam, bro, like in the summer next year.
So, Rob, that's what I want to do. I want to go to the Open Championship Golf in England, which will be, I think, like July-ish. And then, obviously, like just detour Amsterdam.
Okay, cool, bro. Dude, that sounds sick. Okay.
And we'll do like canals and stuff.
Bro, I want Dave to never give up on comedy.
Did you hear that, Dave? It says never give up on comedy. Never give up on whatever it is that you do, Rob.
Rob, I think a lot of things have given up on Dave rather than vice versa. I mean, the guy's been playing with a cord for the last 20 minutes.
Do you know where I'm going to do comedy in November? The wilderness. Like, literally.
As in a place in the Southern Cape? Or you?
It's a sign. Like, I'm basically Jesus. I'm going to be for 40 days and 40 nights with no food in the wilderness trying to find myself. I'm still finding that.
Dave, you're a legend, bro.
Love you.
And keep up the fire, dog.
Yeah. Rob, have a great weekend, bud. Stay safe.
Yeah, love you, boys.
And don't OD, boy. Don't go back to Nick's house. You know it's dark there.
No, dude, watch my stories tonight, bro. It's going to be lit.
Okay, so if you want to see more of Rob and his litness, it's Kook, KOOK766 this weekend.
The company you keep, Ben, is kind of...
He sounds like you.
No, he doesn't.
What, the horse tranquilizer? That's scary, man.
Yeah, but it's also
just saying that to impress people listening.
No, but that's Amsterdam life. Like, you should see the kind of people that Rob parties with.
Mm.
And he said to me, like, October, that's it. Like, I'm taking it easy. I'm really getting my life together. But at the same time, it's like, it's the whole, I mean, October's got like mad jaws because Amsterdam's like so sophisticated, right? So there's obviously the obvious summer months where everyone's in the canals and the boats and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
As you go into winter, they've got things planned so that you never have a dull month in Amsterdam. And October is just really big for like EDM jaws, electronic dance music.
So are the drugs for real though? Is that like a real situation?
Yeah.
Shit.
Dude, that's what people do there. Like, Amsterdam is fascinating like that. It is people function, fully function on hard narcotics. Or they're just living there because they like taking the dog in the park. It's such an amazing contrast. But somehow it all actually works together.
As he said, his corporate life is huge. So that Monday to Friday is a grind and it's terrible. So they really do plan. That Friday is big and you can see it. Yeah. It builds up from the morning.
Look, guys, I'll tell you what, Rob's no different to many people in this world. It's not like he's got a problem or anything. Rob's just living a life like anyone else. Like, he's
trying
to
manage his life.
He's Gugu's age. He jaws. He has a lot of female interest. Guy's living his life.
He keeps three in a row.
He'll sort it all out as he goes along.
He's going upstairs to the flatmate, or he's going back to the original one.
He'd probably go back to the original one. I think he likes that one. Got a message here saying, Leanne, get your ass to the studio. Too much testosterone. Well, not going to fight you on that one. I will fight you on people using alarms, though, because that's just basics. Hey, Dave?
Yeah, I set my alarm for 5 and then had a snooze till about 5:30 and then realized I'd get you at 6.
Yeah.
But then on Vernier Road, I had a white Citroen. Do you talk to cars when in the traffic? Do you tell them what to do?
No, Dave. No.
You don't do it?
No, I'm sure you do.
Do you do that? I speak to every single car. If I see a car coming from the left, I go, okay, white Citroen, you need to chill there.
Chill out, boy. Chill out.
Red Corolla, calm your tits.
You should
I'm fully directing the traffic. And it works. People do the things I ask them to do. I said, you need to indicate because I know you want to change lanes. You with your flipping L at the back left of your windscreen, you need to indicate. And then they indicate and they move into my lane and I control the traffic with my mind.
You should be in a car with Gord. I think that'd be a very interesting place to be.
Does he also talk to himself?
No, he's the kind of guy who's just very animated and he'll talk about anything. So I'm going to go watch rugby. So yesterday I asked where is a good place to go watch rugby. So apparently Pirates, and this isn't a plug, I mean, I'm not endorsing these people, but Pirates do this whole outside jaw, like the rugby club in Parkhurst.
Mm. And it is cool because you think about those games, it's 9:30 in the morning, so you can still do park run.
Yeah, so like it's nice because obviously the Bok game's 12:15, so it's like a midday game.
How much trash are they if they've watched the Australia? Well, I suppose that's Sunday. But if you've watched the first game at Pirates, you're going to be pretty buzzed by
that's
the time.
That's the idea. So I said to Gord, like, Gord, do you want to come watch rugby? I'm going meeting a few friends and we're going to go to Pirates. And it'll be fun because outdoors, there's food trucks and all that kind of stuff. So Gord's like, nah, bro. Not really like a rugby kind of guy. It's like, well, I'm not asking you to play rugby.
No, this food truck's good.
It's like, just be around. And he's like, nah, bro, it's that sounds like my 20s. It's like, well,
you should have put the food first, but not the rugby first.
Nah, but.
No, but I absolutely love Gordon, and I would like to see him more socially. So I just thought this was the most neutral, down-the-line invitation.
Where am I on your list of social?
Dave, I'm not inviting you out socially. So,
but you go to Amsterdam with DJ Nick Knack, or whatever his name is. But I can't come watch rugby with you at Pirates. I won't even tell people I know you.
Because you're impossible to talk to.
Just invite me.
Invite
them, Ben.
You interrupt everyone's conversation in a sentence. It's actually tiring.
Because everyone thinks theirs are more important.
So I said to Gord, come along, it's going to be fun. And he was like, no, dude, I just can't. Like, I don't want to relive my youth. So Gord used to be obviously a serial beer drinker. And he was just like, he was the life of the party.
Captain Beer.
Uh-huh. And now he's not that. And he's got the demons. He doesn't want to then go back to them, which I respect.
So your invitation nearly plunged him into proper...
Maybe he would have relapsed badly and he would have been like Frank the Tank. Taking his
and
shirt
you're
off.
And you're regretting it. You're sitting there, why did I invite Gord?
Yeah, then
he's
I would
naked
be that
on the pole with his underpants on the flagpole.
Gord, I love you, man. I'm sorry about what happened like before. He doesn't like me still.
In your 20s. You were 6 years old and Gordon was doing that.
What do you mean doesn't like you still?
You know, the Schitzing thing. Still upset over that. I don't know why.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Sorry, Gord.
See, again, I won't ask.
We had a message saying Zoe Brown is single.
Aha.
I take it Zoe Brown's the girl from Espresso?
Espresso.
Don't you hate the fact that they call it that and that everyone now thinks that that's the name of the beautiful caffeine-related drink?
Not really, Dave. So she's 29.
Mm.
She joined Espresso in June 2015.
Uh-huh.
At least you said it properly.
So whoever messaged me, I think there's a bit of a geographical issue here. I don't think we can ever ever be together. Because
she's in Cape Town?
Yeah, I'm not doing long distance.
Oh, Ben. I'll take her. Can't let her go to waste.
I'll take her.
I don't think you can just take her. She's not a dairy product. It's also her choice. She has to be able to
Yeah, so that's the last message, all the testosterone. I totally agree with you, these comments. But I've got no balance here. I just try to do what I can with the cast that I have. Leanne's not dead, though. That's the important thing. She is on her way, maybe. Not really. But George Meany coming up. But before that, there was
You know that when you spoke to Rob, I thought that was George. This is the weirdest coincidence I've ever heard. And I just realized, I don't know what the fuck's going on. But
sorry, Ben.
I thought, can this guy talk about cars? And then he did. He actually said, you know, you take the Ferrari out and then let me do a Rob impersonation. On Thursdays, you take the Lambo, and then Fridays, you take this Ferrari. Like me, because maybe there are new people that don't know, that was not the car insert. That was actually a guy.
So, you know, like vegans and vegetarian substitutes and that kind of stuff, it's quite a big deal. So vegans obviously don't want to eat animals, so they eat plant-based stuff. But then again, you get these companies come out and say, it's a vegan chicken burger, or it's a vegan burger. And it's like, just taste just like meat. But I always thought the whole thing about that is that you don't want the taste of animal. Because,
or even the relationship to the animal.
Exactly. So there's this dude I found. This is the least vegan of vegan products. Vegan oxtail. Just try work that out in your mind. Vegan oxtails. This guy, as you can imagine, like any of us, is just as perplexed as his review on this stuff is.
Hell nah. What in the dog sorcery is this? Vegan oxtails? See, y'all motherfuckers messing with powers you don't understand. Ain't no such a thing as a vegan oxtail. Hell, I just realized it ain't no goddamn ox. So I know it ain't no motherfucking tree or bush. That's the most unsold food ever. If you serve that at the Black Folk Thanksgiving, you might get murdered. You're going to come up missing. You and your plate of vegetarian cow tail. Matter of fact, what the fuck is an oxtail? Is it a bull, a cow, or what? I don't know, but that's something bit delicious. You get the right Caribbean motherfucker to put them seasons on that motherfucker. You're going to suck that bitch to the marrow. On the other hand, you're going to get Susan to make this goddamn vegetarian oxtail. You ain't going to go to sleep or nothing. You're going to get up and do chores after that meal. That meal made for hiking. Ain't nothing delicious about that motherfucker. That's just to make it to the next day. You ain't enjoying shit by that motherfucking plate. Only people named Justin, Bill, Tom, Arnold, Marilyn, Jennifer, Austin, and Connor eating those goddamn vegan oxtails. Ain't nobody named Leroy, Laquita, Jerome, Alexis, Mercedes, Pontiac Thunderbird eating that shit right there, boy. I bet you that shit tastes like boot leather.
Pontiac Thunderbird.
Where do you find these people? You troll deep, man.
It's the internet, huh? But it makes some good points. So, you know, a few weeks back, Gugu was talking about the fact that he was on a show and it was a dating show and he couldn't talk about it. But now, Gugu, from what I gather, the show is now a thing. It's out there.
Yeah, it is out there.
Can we talk a bit about it?
We can talk a bit about it.
So, Gugu, he's 26. He is
Capricorn.
He's a presentable gent. I think if he puts his mind to it, he's actually quite a nice guy. He does say offside things. But I would put him forward to a dating show. I think he could get some success.
Look at me. Let me see you.
What do you think, Dave?
Like a young...
Dave concurs.
A young Nelson Mandela.
Concurs,
before
good.
Before he met Winnie.
Okay, before we met Winnie. Yeah, so the show's on now.
You don't
now.
Have any wrinkles, you know that.
Well, thanks. I didn't realize that about myself.
Yes,
not even a frown.
You were saying?
The show is on. It premiered, I think, this week on Wednesday. I got a call from the guys yesterday. My episode will be on the 30th of October. But I've managed to get a sneak peek of the actual thing. So they made a mistake, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
They made a mistake and actually on catch up uploaded the wrong episode, which is my episode, instead of the first episode, which aired on Wednesday.
Right.
But by then I'd already downloaded it. You know, no, please don't share it. Like, I've got the episode. I've got a sneak peek now. But they've taken it down since. But yeah, 30th of October, we should be... Okay, rocking and rolling.
So without giving too much away, what's the structure of the show? Is it, what's the show called? Can you say that?
First Dates Essay.
Okay, right. So that's what people are talking about this week.
Yeah.
So you were coerced into this by your own will, I'm sure. But what is the basic structure? What can we look forward to?
Well, it's based in a restaurant. You got a couple of dates in a restaurant. I rock up there. Don't know who my date's going to be. Never met her. Don't know what she looks like.
Oh.
Chilling at the bar, you know, like just waiting for this chick to show up.
So it's like recreating a social setting, essentially. Yeah, yeah. Like you walking into any kind of bar.
Exactly.
With no horse tranquilizer, obviously. Just
yeah, 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 no, we don't need that. Drop no Chinese. So, yeah, I have a few drinks at the bar. Move on to the restaurant, sit down, have a meal, have a chat. Yeah, so it's they try to base it off like a real life date as much as possible.
Yeah.
But it's a blind date.
And how many, okay, so can you choose the girls or is it just one that's been arranged for you?
Yeah, it's just one that's been arranged for you. You start looking at other tables and you're like, I wish I could have had her. But I can't.
People do that with food when other people's food arrives. Might as well, you can do it with your date as well. Well, you yeah. mic the whole time.
Huh?
You mic the whole time.
You mic the whole time. Saying, yeah, yeah.
And is this
what channel is it on? Is it in place of top billing?
Is it a once-off or are you like, is it like a series that you come in and out of?
No, it's a once-off. It's a once-off.
So you don't get a callback. Like, he was good.
I mean, you could. I mean, they gave me the option of if I wasn't happy with my dates, I could always come back and ask for like another
rematch.
Yeah, a rematch.
in a different weight class, like welterweight.
And are you still in contact with this girl?
Sent me a message right now, actually. Just like 5 minutes ago. Can't tell you what it says, though.
No, of course. And also, I don't care that much. I'm just wondering if this is actually going to hit home for you.
Well, look, I didn't initiate the conversation. She did last night. And I don't know, man. Like, we'll see. I'm actually going to Spain. Next week.
That's really getting away from her.
I'm gonna really proper scout over there, Ben, like Espanol, you know, the Spanish girls and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sort of like my spec. So I'm gonna.
Can you
I'm
speak do Spanish?
Scouting. I'll figure it out, man. I'll wing
you
it.
You must. Hey? Because the Spanish girls don't like. The local is lacquer there, big time. Because a lot of foreigners go there with that exact sort of way of thinking. Like, I'm gonna go get a Spanish girl.
Because I'm exotic.
And say, hola, and you'll be like, how's it? And they'll literally get up and walk away. So you need to get some Buenos Noches vibes going soon.
Yeah, just a couple of key Google phrases. Smart.
Read the packet of big corn bites at the back. There's a lot of phrases there. Arriba. Muchachos.
Or Google.
Amigos.
Amigos.
Well, you can get that Google kind of translated on your phone. I mean, it might look a bit clunky.
Just work it like that, right?
Yeah, you can work with that quirky angle. Maybe that'll work.
The technology, you've got a nice little Spanish technology freak.
Looking forward to it. Hopefully, I pick, you know, something up. I don't know. We'll see.
Would you go on a dating show now that you're a single man, Ben?
That you're a single man, Ben.
Well, I was thinking about, you know, like we spoke about The Bachelor on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could.
Do you think you could be that guy?
The problem is TV is so dreadful. Gareth talks about this all the time. I mean, that experience couldn't be easy for you on one show, right? One episode.
I think for me,
with a director and a producer talking in your ear. Do people talk to you while you're doing it?
No, but I'm kind of used to it now. Initially, when I first started with TV, it was a bit nerve-wracking. But now it's just, yeah.
A part of me, thinking like now, and obviously life changes and you just kind of move on and do stuff, whatever it is. The Bachelor seems like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Until the fact that you don't have your own time. And that's, I'm just too old.
And filming takes a
long
too old. Time.
I want my time when I want my time.
Oh.
Okay, no, I've actually always been like that. So it's all cool because when you look at the actual TV show, and I guess this is why they don't have a lot of candidates for shows like The Bachelor, because it's just so impractically long. So when people say, oh, they've got another white guy. Well, maybe there were just so few guys that they really could have had. I don't know. But like, it's a lovely idea until I think you get into the filming, the production side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then 14 weeks of your life.
And then you lose the interest. And the problem is, when you lose interest, you come across terribly on screen. Like, I'm quite...
Yeah, you flatline a lot.
I'm quite maybe the best at times, right?
I love Gugu.
So now, if I'm on a TV show and I'm being pushed and prodded and stuff, and now I've got to go talk to some girl who I don't actually have any interest in, but I've got to feign like I do to keep suspense going, I think I'd be terrible at that.
Maybe you wouldn't be the best candidate, Ben. Maybe you, Dave?
No, you know what I couldn't do? I've never watched the show, so I wouldn't know what to do. So I probably would be the best. I'd just be walking around going, what do I do now? What
is this? I think Rob could do it,
this
though.
One? Rob would definitely.
Rob would kill it.
And he's a good-looking chap.
He would, but they just need to really conceal his drug use.
So, no, I think it would be a standard you'd have to just be on the show.
I just think at some scenes, Rob would be flying.
Yeah, just like Qatar.
He would be like 1,000 miles an hour and everyone's still in the car park.
He's sleeping.
So they would have to like, okay, Rob, we're going to need to give you an hour. He'd be like, no, I'm ready. Let's
do
this.
I'm good, boys. I'm good.
Let's get this happening. But it's a very tough thing. That's going to start. So, Google, we do really look forward to watching.
What's
you
your show called again?
First Dates.
And it's on
it's on Channel 17 BBC. Kind of no,
really?
BBC.
Dave, I don't know what South African television does.
You must underestimate me. What?
It's on BBC. First
BBC.
Dates.
He puts me on Mzansi.
I put you on Imagine. Well, that's where everything ends up. Huh. I remember a lovely show I was on called The Late Night with Trevor Noah.
Really?
Yeah. Five episodes later, we were on Mzansi.
Shit.
What were you doing there?
Terrible.
Were you writing?
It was on Mnet. It was a sketch show, so I was writing and helping as much as I could.
Yeah, that's something that like needs to come back. Sketch comedy, I think, is fantastic.
It's hard because
but it's
the,
hard because
you know,
it's
what
offensive.
You said earlier in the show at 6:05 is the offensive thing. So when you get it right, it works. So Saturday Night Live have been doing it for a long time, so they get that little balance where it's quirky and it's tongue in cheek and everyone's winking at each other. Mm-hmm. But they are doing accents. They are doing major themes, whether it's you know with sexual themes or whatever it is. But any news story that in there should be parody. It should be have a sketch thing, except for Top Billing, which you can't parody.
But the thing about Saturday Night Live, and this is why I think it's gone on for so long, is that they've tried to find that middle ground. But in doing so, I think their audience is like...
I can't watch it.
It's hard. I mean, to give an example...
I was working at a call center in Pakistan at the time, doing customer service for Gucci online orders. It mostly entailed getting yelled at by Americans over missing packages, damaged merchandise, or wrong orders.
Billing address. Billing.
Sometimes they'd have a hard time understanding me because of my accent, which would fill them with that red, white, and blue rage I'd come to fear. Every now and then, though, the customer would be calm and even friendly. And sometimes I'd hear a longing in their voice, a longing that they've been trying to satisfy with compulsive online shopping, but ultimately just needed to be heard. That was the case with this woman. I'll always remember the first time I ever spoke to her.
First and last name, please.
Melania Trumps?
Excuse me?
Trump, like towers in the sky?
She asked me a little bit about myself.
Where are you from?
Then very abruptly told me about her nightmares. She said she dreamt of a blue-eyed panther drinking by a river, looking up at her and calmly saying,
"Be careful what you wish for."
Over the next few months, I became her confidant, dream journal, and one true friend. My shift started at midnight, and on occasion, I'd listen to her till dawn.
Well, have you talked to him about that?
It's difficult to talk to him.
So the point being, it's not overly funny. It's just like it's become...
You can hear the giggles are a bit sporadic.
Because they've got to become so medium, it's like, it's clever, but it's not hilarious. Like, it's not, you're not going to tell someone about it, but it's mild entertainment.
So we've done, and in my time, five ever be mild pilots for a show. They've been... separate ones that have been filmed. Some take sort of private guys will actually set up the, because the pilot's big time to shoot in terms of money. So at the moment, Bevan Cullen and a couple of guys are in the line, and then Mojack's also putting together a pilot for that. But who's going to buy it? Not SABC. Have got their billions they've spent already. They're not buying anything.
They got nothing.
So weird that once you get 200 billion, the first thing you drop is Top Billing. It's almost like you've been waiting. When we get those billions, we are kicking these motherfuckers out of here. But sketch shows in South Africa are very difficult to find. As you said, who's going to watch it? Because a sketch show's got to be pointed at a 25-year-old white female or a 45-year-old coloured male. That's where the sketch is going to. And it's so diverse in this country. We can't get a sketch that'll make everyone happy.
So therefore, you're going to have one that's quite medium, and therefore it's not going to be funny. Right. So your initial
and
interest is not going to be kept.
They're going to choose colourful characters because we have got some beautiful politicians. I could think of a sketch now when you were talking about the bridge and throwing the cocaine into the crack. And having cocaine in the crack as a protest hashtag or something, but it's there to be parodied and to be made fun of, and then all of a sudden someone will write in and say, "Don't make fun of bridges. My friend was crushed under a bridge or something."
Exactly.
Crap.
Too soon.
It's just hectic.
George Meany's with us. George, welcome.
How's George it? Is having flashbacks to the last time he was on the show with me. He's sitting four seats away.
What happened?
Don't, I still like
Dave, I would not blame
him. Let the other people speak.
So, George, you've been traveling. We spoke about Google's off to Spain soon. You were in the Portugal?
Yes, I was in the Portugal. Spain's a beautiful place. I was in Spain last year, as a matter of fact. Uh-huh. Have you been there?
Haven't
you been there?
Uh-uh.
Beautiful place. Uh-huh. Yeah. Just to take a jacket because it's very hot in the day and can get very
cool
at night.
Well, as we go into the October months. I mean, you were in Portugal last week, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's like the nice Mediterranean kind of climate. It's pretty decent.
You know, like I said to you, I think last week, the one thing I noticed was the colors. I don't know whether it's because there's no pollution or lower level of pollution, or whether they're closer to the sun. But the blues are bluer and the greens are greener.
Which is nice.
It's never beautiful. Seen
it. Like the greens are greener, the blues are bluer.
Mm. It's got a lot to do with the pollution. I don't think they've got.
It's got nothing to do with carrots.
I don't think that they've got those coal firing power stations that are malfunctioning, messing up our horizons. Yeah.
So everything just looks prettier there for some reason. I don't know. Maybe you're more relaxed when you go there. So you know your eyes are taking in colors better.
But or there's mushrooms in the tea, George. I mean, either way.
Yeah, it's not very far from Amsterdam.
Zoe Brown.
Zoe Brown. Here we go.
Thought we're just naming colors. I'm not sure how this game works. When do I take a drink?
Right now, Dave.
Anytime you want. Chardonnay, first thing in the morning.
So, George, what's happening in this exciting week of hails?
Well, new breathalyzer tests have led to higher conviction rates. So the police have got this new breathalyzer test called the eBay, Evidential Breathalyzer Alcohol Test.
And that's like a yes, no. There's no
That's EBAT.
Yeah, well, I don't know why they call it eBay. Mm-hmm. It's a good point, actually. See, Dave picks up. It's really good.
Spelling.
Wow, I promise you, I'm reading it. Evidential breathalyzer alcohol test. Class.
But George, this has also got to do with the fact that once you get new technology, people are more diligent with their jobs. Are they dispatching more of these things?
Well, I think the difference with this particular breathalyzer test is it gives you a printout, whereas the previous breathalyzer unit didn't give you a printout. So you
get a slip now.
You get a slip, and apparently this slip is admissible in court, so you don't have to go for a blood test. Because the reason you have to go for a blood test is because there's a panel and there's a document that you have to go and provide as evidence in court, whereas this breathalyzer test has a printed out
receipt.
So apparently conviction rates have gone up, and since they've introduced it in December, there's been well over 1,000 drunk drivers convicted.
Well, that's good.
Especially they were all on the road last week when I was out.
Yeah, you see a lot more nowadays. I mean, obviously, when you go into the holiday season, it's nice to kind of get people into maybe a better frame of mind, like don't drink and drive.
Yeah,
I know it's like 2019, but everyone's a dumbass at some stage in their life.
Yeah, I mean, drinking and having fun is all good, and all of us do it. But why put other people's lives or even your own in danger?
Exactly.
Just don't drink and drive. It's that simple. But people just don't. I don't know. It's the 21st century. I don't get it.
We've got things to help us not do that.
Yeah,
we can call people on our phone for an affordable price.
Yes.
To take us home.
You don't
need. Phone Gordy.
Fetch your car tomorrow. Phone Dave.
Yeah.
My car got repossessed.
I never phoned Dave.
I need to speak to you about that off air. How do we get them back?
It's a nice
good show, eh? We do it about debt.
Yeah, I know. Debt's a problem in this country, eh?
At least I'm not out there drunk and driving.
No, exactly. You can't.
Drunk and walking. Can they test for MDMA and horse tranquilizer? Can I get a receipt for that?
I don't know.
Well, we've got a friend called Rob. He lives in Amsterdam.
I know they can do
it. On his dike the other day, on his boat.
I know they're looking for ways to test for weed. To test whether.
But does weed, have they tested that weed impairs your vision or driving?
Of course it does.
Makes the colors colorfuler.
Exactly.
Were you maybe partaking?
We see you.
So I've started growing a home batch.
Yeah.
And I've got some very, very nice, what do they call it? Reviews.
Oh.
I'm getting some 4-star reviews on my product.
Oh. That's so interesting.
You're selling weed
from myself? No, I'm not selling it, Ben, because that's illegal.
Okay,
I'm using myself as a reviewer. I'm saying this is some good shit.
Okay,
it's mostly just the leaves in the microwave.
But don't smoke and drive.
Okay, so they can get a test for that too.
Well, no, I bet
test is basically. do you want an Oreo?
Well, there is the pee test that.
But it tastes funny when you pee on the cop.
Yeah, man, take this, take it. But the problem with the pee test is it picks it up 24, 48 hours later anyway. So you by that time the effects have worn off. So you can't.
But no one told the pee vigilante that.
Nah. And then Porsche have announced that they're working with Boeing to create a flying taxi.
Oh, really? This sounds bad.
Is this really possible, or is this just more like PR kind of hype?
I don't know. I think it's a bit of PR because George, Audi has pulled out of this.
I feel we've been hearing these stories for a few years now. It's like when there's.
It's going to be in Dubai.
It's like concept cars on steroids. Yeah. You know, it's not really going to happen, but it sounds very cool.
It sounds very cool, and I mean, the pictures are all artist impressions. So
exactly.
So you can't even like get to see the real thing. But apparently at the Geneva Motor Show, they're going to have a prototype. So let's see what Porsche does to Boeing. I'm sure Boeing won't put their name on something for shits and giggles. And then Toyota's unveiled an electrified compact, a very compact car, which only can take which takes two people. And they also have a three-wheeler. And this, these are all electric cars, and
I saw some similar ones in Amsterdam.
It's like a scale electric car. It's
like these cars are overseas. They definitely are. They're growing.
In China, there's a lot of these things. Mm. So you know, you can park anywhere. The thing only does 37 miles an hour and has a range of 62 miles. But
which for inner city is completely fine.
It's fine, 100 k's.
I mean, these are general commutes that we're doing. Yeah.
So they're marketing it to salespeople. And they say that it's perfect for companies who have salespeople who don't have to do long distances, inner city stuff, exactly, like you say. Yeah. And then you heard about the typhoon in Japan.
Yep. Thankfully, there's no more for the World Cup.
Yeah, but, no, exactly. Well, I mean, the Grand Prix just missed it.
Just missed it, yeah.
Just missed it. But during this typhoon, an interesting thing happened. People with sports cars, this is a little known fact, people with sports cars all drive to shopping centers and leave their cars in shopping center parking lots. Hmm. So when there's bad weather, people go and park their cars in shopping center parking lots.
Is that legit? It's not for insurance purposes or anything weird.
No, they're trying to protect their car.
Just to protect the car. Yeah. Like, have you ever seen a hailstorm and people just stop under, if they're in the bridge,
yeah,
they're cool. It's like, up yours, like, buddy.
Fuck everyone else.
So we can't get past. So it's not that the traffic's not moving. It's just that the Porsches and the smart cars have stopped under the
fancy
bridge.
Fancy cars, yeah. I mean, I stop under the bridges if there's hail. I've fortunately never had a car that's been hail damaged.
Just my way. Can't make the bridge this week.
People will put into filling stations as well. You see queues. Wherever you can, you just put
it. Remember in Dubai when the debt thing hit in 2008 or 2009?
Yeah.
And those cars were left at the airport.
Yeah, but that still happens, eh?
It still happens.
People just go. So just, I'm out of here.
Just drop them.
So the Wolf of Wall Street vibes. Yeah. They can't come back. If they come back to Dubai, they go to
jail.
Death sentence vibes for bounced checks. Yeah. Because obviously the payments aren't being made.
Yeah. Yeah, no, people just leave it in Dubai. It's a known thing. I mean, back in 2008, it was worse. But even now, they just leave their car and at the airport and go. Even in Oliver Tambo, there's been some incidents of people just leaving their cars in Oliver Tambo. And you know, by the
best
dust.
Thing they can do is they put that yellow boot on for 4 years.
The yellow boot?
The yellow boot on the right wheel, yeah. That big yellow.
Oh, that yellow boot by the security.
Yeah, for 7 years. Surely they should realize this guy's not coming back.
Yeah, just tow the car away.
I saw a guy reverse at Lanceria with one of those on. No. Do you see how quick security guards come? Hey, you've got a boot on. He's like, sorry, old Toppy. He parked in the, at Lanceria, you don't really know where to park. It's not a real airport.
Yeah.
And he had the boot on and he reversed. It makes the most incredibly loud noise on the tar. And then every single security guard came. He had a Hyundai i10, which I was quite impressed. It's a front wheel drive, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a front wheel drive.
And he hit that thing hard.
Because usually they put it on the back wheel on the driver's side. So when you get in the car, you can actually see the bloody thing.
So this is on the front wheel on the driver's side. And he got in his car, glasses on, looked like Mr. Magoo. And he just, obviously the person he came to fetch didn't arrive, so he was just depressed. Or he was dropping someone off, broke up with his girlfriend. You know how it is, Ben. There was a boot. Sad. Anyway, motoring. I speak about stationary motors.
Dave seems to keep going life, back Dave? To this kind of like, single life deprived vibe.
How do you guys afford?
Vibe.
You're going to Spain. He works at a radio station that doesn't pay anyone. You are a content creator that no one watches. You sell a magazine that no one reads.
No, we actually don't have a magazine. I just got it. So he's living in 1984.
Basically, you are wrong four times, and you're like the people in Holland that we spoke about yesterday. You've been underground for like 10 years.
You got to go to Portugal. You're going to Amsterdam again. I'm going to the open.
Yeah, I work hard. Do whatever I want, sure.
And Dave's going to stand back to get his car back.
Exactly. So back to you, George. Yeah. More interesting.
So so a Chinese guy has got sick and tired of listening to music in his car and his windshield wipers aren't in sync. So he modified his windshield wipers to be in sync with his music.
That is amazing. But clearly he's listened to one kind of music. Otherwise, his windscreen wipers are going to do all kinds of things.
Exactly.
My windscreen wipers are in the same phase as Nkosi Sikelele.
Yeah.
And if you put them on the faster, it does the second verse.
Oh, really?
So the first beat, it goes, they go, and it was on the radio, that was the first one, and then when it goes, and then
80 blow, and then I just put it on the faster one, and it actually was in tune to that as well, which is weird.
So this guy was sick and tired of the out of sync, so he modified his windscreen wipers to go along with his music.
The national anthem. Huh? If you played the national anthem, it would have been in sync.
Yeah, it would have been in sync, but I'm sure they don't play the Nkosi Sikelel in China.
And also, if he's got an electric car, he shouldn't use the wipers, because that'll you can only go 34 kilometers per hour.
Yeah, obviously you don't believe in electric cars, Dave.
No,
of course not. He's the fastest car.
I tell you, the fastest car.
Electric cars don't exist in 1984. Hi, only George Orwell does.
Hi, George. Please do a show about future car talk. What will car mad guys talk about when
coming
cars
tomorrow?
What will car mad guys talk about when most cars are electric? Will it be about software, motor brands, or battery brands? It would be interesting. That's quite a good point, that, because people talk about, like, Gugu and I were talking about the growl of a C63 the other day. Uh-huh. So imagine if, like, Merck get to a point where they take that away. Like, you still get
about
this
range and acceleration. No, this one's quicker now.
But it's not a really exciting thing to talk about range. You want to talk about it?
But it's real. It's real. Recorded
sound. You're going to have to talk louder, Dave.
Me off. Do you have a recorded sound on some of the cars?
No, there's a lot of websites who have recorded sound downloads. But yeah. I mean, if you think about the things that we talk about with ICE vehicles, usually it is speed, performance, fuel consumption. And I'm pretty sure that those things will translate. So
it becomes relative to what's now important.
Yes,
like things that you actually value and have a value.
Yes. So electric cars are faster. They're faster than any sports car.
Tesla's shown us that.
Tesla's shown us that. 3 seconds 0 to 100. I mean, not even the McLarens do that very easily.
They still keep the grill because we are used to seeing a grill.
No, the Tesla doesn't have a grill.
Doesn't.
No.
So that's the first thing that they're going to lose, is that aesthetic look of what a car is supposed to look like.
Well, the thing is, electric cars don't have to look like cars of today. The aerodynamics obviously still have to be there because you're pushing the air forward. But it'll be those kinds of things that I think is spoken about. It's more the aesthetics of the car and people come up with interesting. I think people come up with interesting. Interesting designs that don't exist today, because you've got a lot to play with.
Lighting
in the car, software in the car,
chandeliers.
So I think all of the things that exist in the ICE vehicle today will translate. Yeah, sure. Speed, range. We'll just have to understand the acronyms. That's the thing. But I think there'll be a lot more like software. There'll be a lot more entertainment in the car. A lot more. Or more stuff to play with. Like, I mean, why do you think the smartphone has become so popular and people are steering the bloody thing?
But exactly, and we all evolve like this. It's just Dave who doesn't. So, I mean, we'll find a way to find all these things interesting.
Have you read 1984, Dave?
George Orwell?
Yes.
No, I haven't. It was my Sedgwick book in matric.
Go read it. You missed out.
Some stuff happening, man.
All right.
How's Rob doing? Is he in an electric car?
Is that wrap it up for the week?
That's it.
All right. So if you did miss out on Monday's show this week on SA's number one motoring's podcast, they review the Range Rover Evoque. Oh, that's a sexy car.
Ooh, la la.
Always.
Yes.
Just saying it's Beckham. And discuss what's better for you between 93 and 95 octane. They also catch up with the latest motorsport news and dive into changes within the industry, all powered by Auto Central. That is the Auto Central pod. Mondays here at Cliff Central, or just catch up with all of them right here at cliffcentral.com. George, have a lovely weekend.
You too, Ben. Thanks.
Gareth and the team will be back next week, as per usual. Dave, thanks for joining us. Gugu, thanks for having me this week.
Can I go?
We can go.
Well, thank God this is over.
It's nice to see Ben again, to be honest. Thank so, thanks, not that George. It's not nice to see you, Dave.
You don't have to come in here just for this. Huh? You're on your, which is on your way. Hey, you don't.
Yeah, it's on my way.
Okay, good.
Take it easy, Dave. Cheers, and if it's easy, take it home. Nice to meet you.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. Gareth, we'll be back on Monday. CliffCentral.com.